as I walked in with a suit this morning, people saying, "You're wearing a suit, why?" And I said, "Exactly for that reason." So you'll all say, "Why are you wearing a suit?" Just now and then show you that I have one of those, right? But summer is coming, and one of these days we'll be out of these. I said to Jay this morning, "We wear long pants in this church." No, that was out of envy. That's all, out of envy. Welcome to Central. We are a Jesus church where everyone is welcome, where no one is perfect, but where everyone is loved and where anything is possible. Happy Father's Day. Come have some cake and tea and good company afterwards. Father, I'm excited about this morning. It's a wonderful word, but it is really scary too. Because you say, "This is what I expect you to do." And it's not always that easy. So even just before we read, we just say, "Lord, help us to hear." But then, Lord, you do the work in us, because we will not be able to do this in our own strength, only in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. We're going to read our scripture reading first this morning, 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4, and I'm going to read right to the end of verse 5. But we're only going to do the last little bit of verse 5 this morning. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And the one that we're going to talk about this morning, love keeps no record of being wronged. The pelicano is the hobo of the seas, was also known as the cane sea. It was later renamed as the Felicia, and then it was renamed a third time to the pelicano. Let me tell you the story. Why? Pelicano was not welcome, 1986, in any harbor. Was turned away. Tried the whole of the Caribbean, turned away. Here's what happened. 1986, Philadelphia had a huge strike for months on end. Couldn't get rid of their garbage and their other waste, toxic waste, and it just became too much. At the end of the strike, they sat with 14,000 tons of garbage and waste. The towns around them, cities around them, did not want to take their waste. Their own dumps couldn't handle the waste, and they were stuck. Until the owners of the Pelicano saw a moment to make a quick dollar. And they said, "We'll take the 14,000 tons," thinking they're going to take it and just dump it somewhere in one of these nations that are struggling. They tried their luck, and they were turned away time after time. That's where the name change came, because everyone knew who the cane sea was. So they changed it to the Felicia, and then they said, "Oh, no, same one." And then they changed it to Pelicano. The only place where they illegally dumped 4,000 tons of that waste was in Haiti. 1986, all of a sudden it appeared, and it had no more cargo. When the court case was taken against them, they found out that they dumped the rest of the 10,000 pounds in our wonderful ocean. So the plight of the Pelicano tells us that ships filled with junk and trash make few friends. But there's a parable in the plight of the Pelicano. It is also true for hearts that are filled with junk and trash. They make few friends. I don't know. I don't know if anyone can relate to the story of the Pelicano. Maybe there's someone in your world that you avoid because their life is so filled with all kinds of junk. You can't physically smell it, but boy, their attitude sure stinks. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're unwanted at the dock. Maybe you've been drifting away from friends and family. Maybe it's time then to search your heart. Because the world has this way of dumping trash on all of our docks. Husband works too much, my wife cares too much, the kids whine too much, the boss expects too much, and the end result? Trash. Loads and loads and loads of anger and resentment and regret and anxiety and deceit and indecision and impatience, and it just piles up, pile upon pile upon pile. And the problem with this is, as the junk piles up in our own lives and we allow them to do that, it unfortunately hurts our relationships. You want some examples? I'm going to give you two. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Cain, before he killed his brother, what was he doing? He was lining it all up in there. Why does he do this? Why did God look at his sacrifice? I don't like him. And all of the stuff, resentment, anger, just piled up and piled up. What was the end result? Relationship messed up. He killed his brother. Martha, with a little temper tantrum against her sister Mary. How did this happen? Why is she not helping me? Why is she sitting with Jesus? Why do I have to do all of the work? Goes, goes, goes. And as the trash comes in, the relationships hurt. Because here's the problem. Today's thoughts become tomorrow's actions. Today's jealousy becomes tomorrow's temper tantrum. Today's anger becomes tomorrow's abuse. Today's lust becomes tomorrow's act of adultery. That's why Paul warns us, challenges us, and he says, love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not make little lists and keep records of being wrong. Love doesn't make lists. Love, can I use the Pelicano example? Love does not take all kinds of junk and let that come into your life, because the problem with trash is it smells. And people will smell you. Don't do it. Don't make the lists. Sometimes I think people don't realize that we have a choice. But just listen to the way we speak. It seems to me that we make ourselves this kind of victim of our thoughts. We can't control them. Let me give you an example. Don't talk to me. I'm really mad. As if mad is this geographical area that I am in. And because I'm in mad, now I have the right to just be grumpy. Oh, don't look for trouble with her. She has a bad disposition. As if a bad disposition is some kind of virus that you get, and because you get that, you're allowed to be rude and mean and have a bad disposition. And then we walk around as if our thoughts control our lives. And you're thinking, but they do. And what the Bible says, do you agree with me? Have you ever read this text? And Ted, I hope you have the NCV there. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. We capture every thought. I'm just doing the last part of that. And we make it give up and obey Christ. See what Paul says about thoughts. We capture every thought. When we capture it, we make it give up and we make it obey Christ. Can I walk you through that? So as this thought comes in, it doesn't control me. I'm saying, whoa, 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 stop a minute. I'm not going to react on you. You're not my boss. I'm going to stop you. I'm going to take you in here. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not going to happen. And once I've captured it, what do I do with it? I make it give up. Resentment? You have no place in my heart. Bad thoughts? I'm going to put you in handcuffs. You're not going any further with me. And when I've captured them and I made them give up, what do? I march them right into the presence of Jesus Christ. And I say, thoughts, if you cannot obey Jesus and do what Jesus expects you to see, there's the door. Jealousy? There you go. Resentment? See ya. Impatience? Wouldn't want to be ya. Get out of my life. They do not control my life. We capture every thought. We make them give up. And we put them into Jesus' presence and we say, there's the King of Kings. And if you don't obey him, you have no place in my life. Question is, who's in control of your life? Who's the captain of that ship? Let me make this practical. So you're a young man. You're away from home. You get a call from home. It's just all negative and criticism. Why haven't you called? We haven't seen you for such a long time. Are you really still studying? We hope you have a girlfriend. We hope you're going to get married one day. Maybe you should just stop all of this stuff and get a good job like your cousin Homer. And you're lying in bed that night and you're thinking, "Argh!" And here's what you can do. You can allow those thoughts to come in. And you can make your little list of what you're going to do and say. You're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to smell like garbage. Or you're going to decide to do what the word says. I'm going to love you. Because love does not make lists. Love does not keep a record of all the times that it has been wronged. And that morning, you walk up to Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, this is hard. It hurt me. But can I give it and them to you? Because you see, here's the thing. Just because there's garbage on your dock doesn't mean that you have to take the garbage on into your life. You have a choice. You have a choice. I'm going to take it or I am going to reject it. Paul says, don't take it on. You don't need those lists. Can I suggest something? Instead of making a list of all of those wrongs, start making a list of all the times where you were wrong and God forgave you. I did that. And Father, you didn't hold it against me. I acted in that way and Father, you forgave me. You don't even know about it. You dumped it in the deep sea and you don't think it about it anymore. I was like that, and you still love me? And you're thinking, really? Can I say to you, really? If you are in Jesus Christ, and you belong to the Lord Jesus, and you have given your life to Jesus, this is what happens. Yes, he does not keep a record of the wrong. Yes, he loves you unconditionally. Yes, you have been wiped clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can anyone say amen to that? Because here's, for me, the most beautiful verse in the whole of the Bible, because I think it's the gospel in one word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, when you've been baptized and you've come into Christ, he says, this is what happened. He says, he, God, canceled the record of charges against you. In other words, those lists that were made, God canceled them. And the Greek word here, exalepho, is the most beautiful word. They would often have these beautiful rocks, and then the Caesar would want to claim this area, and they would put cement or whatever you call that heavy stuff on there, and he would put his seal on that, and it's all there. when they wanted to restore that rock to its beauty, they would come and break all of that cement away until the rock is there. They obliterated that stuff. That's the word he uses. And God obliterated all of those lists that were against you, erased them completely. How did he do that? When he took them to the cross and he nailed them on Jesus. And Jesus washed you. There's a beautiful song. Lene sang it for us the other day. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. You've washed me white. He doesn't make lists. He doesn't keep a list. He knows nothing about it. I always used to joke with the teenagers and say, when you've asked God forgiveness for the sin, it's gone. Let it go. If you ask him again for that same thing tomorrow, the whole of heaven is in a tailspin because they're looking for that sin and they can't find it because God got rid of it. It's not there, so stop doing that. Don't make lists. Make lists of thanksgiving, of what God has done in your life. Because here's the beautiful thing. The world, they dump the junk. God dumps his grace and his forgiveness on us. And everywhere I go, and I live in this forgiveness, people's lives are changed. Mine is changed. Because if I can say, it's okay, what you did wasn't okay, but I'm going to forgive that, and I'm going to put that behind me, and let's go live. I'm free, and you are free. And our Father smiles. Don't make lists. It's not that easy. Sometimes you're going to have to do some things, and let me give you one or two examples. Maybe they're good, maybe they're bad. It might be that you have to say goodbye to some people in your life. If there are people in your life that are bringing you down, if there are people in your life that are making your life negative and having you take on all kinds of stuff that makes you want to make the lists, the right thing to do is to say, I'm sorry, I can't continue this because I'm not going to take this garbage into my life and make it mine, and walk away. Maybe there's stuff that you're doing that lets you take on garbage. Forgive me, just use a silly example. Maybe there's some stuff you're watching on television. That's not good for you. Sometimes they call it reality TV. Maybe we can call it trash TV. That puts things in your life that it's okay to lie, that it's okay to deceive. No, it's not okay. And if that stuff is putting stuff in your life that's not good, stop watching it. You can do it. You have the choice. Maybe the most difficult one of all. Maybe it's time to make new lists. Go make a list of all the good things that God is doing in your life. Of all the blessings, of all the grace, of all the care, of all the forgiveness. Go make those lists. Boy, once you start making that, it's going to be quite the list, and that's an okay list. Because it doesn't keep record of being wronged. It is a list of saying, I'm forgiven. A little bit of grace can change so much. And love is all about grace. It is patient and it is kind. It doesn't make lists. You can do it if you want. You can make your lists. Boy, you're going to smell like garbage. Or you can do what your Father would want. Go live forgiveness. Because God has so much more in store for you than to smell like a garbage dump. Your Father has plans for you to bless you and to prosper you and to care for you. And as he puts his favor upon you, his favor just goes throughout this world and it changes the world. So forgive my little Father's Day joke today. You have a choice. Are you going to love it or are you going to list it? Let's pray. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are, Lord. We don't understand your forgiveness because it is so amazing and so gracious. But thank you that we don't have to understand it. We may live through it and in it. As we prayed early, Lord, this is not an easy word to hear because it's easy to make those lists, especially when the I in us wants to come out. Help us to love the way that you love. Help us to be a good smelling perfume of your grace and your forgiveness and your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.